Atheist Nomads, episode 187, The Adventist Millennium. And please note, I got a new audio interface, and it took a few minutes to get Lauren's settings zeroed in. So she's going to sound a little bit rough for the first couple minutes, but then we get it all figured out, and it's all good. But I love the new interface. Anyway, on to the show.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello, everybody.
And joining us is Lauren.
Wrong, Wesley. Wrong.
Hello, everybody.
That was better. Okay, that's just weird. No, yeah, hi. Sorry if I sound a little odd. We got a new interface. So Dustin's going to be obsessively playing with it now.
So Dustin is interface.
That's what she said. Oh. So, how are you doing, Wesley?
Doing all right. You know, it's getting to be that point of time of year when I can start riding my motorcycle occasionally.
Almost.
I really like it.
We had a little slurry of snow this afternoon, but we're getting there.
I mean, if I started work at 9 every day, I would be golden, basically.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's just a little too early. Too cold.
Yeah.
Sucks. So, and then by the afternoon, it's, like, too warm.
No, I mean, that's great.
Wait for it. That'll happen.
That'll be awesome. I won't have to, like, ride my bike in, like, hot pants and a thick jacket.
Hot pants!
Yeah, hot, sparkly gold pants.
Oh, my God. That's so hot.
Yay.
So hot right now.
You clipped again.
Borrow Meredith's hot pants.
Well, Dustin
She's
and
nodding,
I went to an awesome...
vigorously.
We went to an atheist comedy show last night.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It was so awesome. There was vagina puppets.
Vagina puppets.
Made with fuzzy socks and lace.
Really?
Oh, they're beautiful.
So,
I want one.
So there was a lot of vagina.
Well, there were four comics plus the host for the evening, the MC, and not a single person that was up there was a straight man.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There were four women and two bisexual men.
Represent. And yeah, this has been going on for years, every year, twice a year now for a couple of years. And the guy who runs it is hoping to take it abroad. And I was just thinking, God, you know, we got to get a hold of somebody to do that in Tacoma.
Well, he wants to take it on the road, not necessarily abroad.
Well, abroad is a relative term. Outside of Boise is abroad.
Okay.
Actually, I would say outside the Treasure Valley is abroad.
Oh.
Why are you calling women broads, man?
Because they're wider in the hips. So those childbearing hips.
Now. I understand now.
Which I curse every time I accidentally slam mine into a counter. Curse these childbearing hips.
Oh, but the show was awesome. And the MC was Mikey, who we've had on twice now.
Oh, yeah. Mikey!
He's awesome.
Yeah, and we definitely are going to try and get a few more of the comics on. If there are no objections, I will try and get one for the next couple episodes since she's an ex-Mormon. And be really awesome when we talk about Mormon eschatology.
Her entire stand-up was about deciding to have a kid after years and years and years of not wanting to have a kid. And it hit me so hard. I was like, oh, I'm laughing because this hurts. At least I don't have a huge Mormon family waiting at the wings to say, I told you so.
Raise the mic up just a hair.
Messing with my mic.
There we go.
All right. So.
Yeah. And I do need to apologize to Kylie. She was sitting in front of me at the show. And Kylie, I'm sorry I didn't remember meeting you before. I think you changed your hair and that threw me off. And also, it's that throwing me off. And also, meeting listeners is also always kind of weird when you have that moment where it's like, okay, this is somebody who has heard me talk for hours and hours and hours and hours, and I am at a huge disadvantage.
Okay, all you had to do is say you were drunk at one of those meetings, and you would have been golden.
Yeah. Well, her hair was, blue and mohawk-y, so it's quite a bit different from last time you saw her. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
It was really rad, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into dusting off the degree.
He just did the superhero motion, and it was adorable. Like, up, up, and away to dust it off the degree.
So I started researching Mormon eschatology and realized that we need to talk about not just beliefs about the last days, but also the millennium. That's the period of time either before or after Christ's second coming and preceding all of eternity. And since the last days immediately precede the millennium, we should also talk about that for Adventists as well. So Adventists don't believe in an immortal soul. So when you die, you just cease to exist. So then when Jesus returns, he has to resurrect the righteous, meaning their dead bodies and minds are reassembled. And rather than reassembling them to perfection right then, they are reassembled in the exact
corpse
state they were at the moment of their death.
Holy crap, that's awful.
So they could be like totally maimed and disfigured and shit.
Well, okay, probably if it was like you died in a car accident the way you were immediately before the accident.
No. Okay. Literally, the moment you died, which in some cases people are bleeding out for hours.
Yeah.
Or they're so old and decrepit that they can't even function.
I think the main thing they were going for is old and decrepit. You are resurrected old and decrepit.
Oh my gosh. But if you were resurrected, you're
amazing.
You lost an arm or something. Are you still bleeding?
you're at least missing the arm.
Yeah, it's just a flesh wound.
So anyway, you're getting okay. Yeah, that part's
sorry. I tunnel vision.
So then they ascend into the sky and join Jesus and the angels.
Are they naked?
Not yet. Well, actually, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That part wasn't ever covered.
covered.
And then they're followed by the living righteous. And last week I described the death of the lost being kind of Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail style, but that actually comes later. At this point, they just kind of fall dead.
Hmm.
Satan and his angels are also bound to the earth to roam for 1,000 years. One requirement for Christ's return is that everyone alive needs to have heard the gospel and have been given a chance to choose salvation. That requirement doesn't apply to the dead, since not everyone has had the chance to hear the gospel. And for those people, they will be judged based on how they responded to the light that was shown them. So basically, whether or not they followed their conscience.
Huh. So the dead get off easy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Are they talking about an actual light, like tunnel, like the end of the tunnel kind of light?
No. The light of the Holy Spirit within them.
Okay.
Spiritual light, not any kind of
spiritual light. Yeah, yeah, okay. I think you can get that in bare paint color.
You could probably also get it from drugs, but
yeah.
But so then this does create the interesting scenario where if you got a bad presentation of the gospel and rejected it, you're fucked even if you followed your conscience the whole way.
Oh, boom.
So Adventists actually do put, well, okay, you've gotten weird twists with that. In the 1880s, they started sending off tracts to all over the world to make sure that they could spread the gospel everywhere, and that's how Pitcairn Island ended up converting to Adventism. But just sending out tracts, they didn't get very high yield from that, and it ended up, by their own beliefs, just creating a whole lot of people who got a bad presentation that they rejected and are now condemned.
Right, because if they had gotten good presentation, they all would have joined the church.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah. So then, anyway, going back to the
I just see a bunch of 1800s people going, not according to plan! Oiled again.
Yeah, but this does actually put a lot of pressure on Adventists that when they are evangelizing, to make sure they try and do the best job they possibly can so they don't fuck people over.
That makes me feel so much worse for turning them away at the door. Nah, they never come.
Adventists don't do the door-to-door thing much unless you're trying to sell magazines.
Oh. I was going to say, oh, they're one of the good ones, and then you said the magazines, and I'm like, oh, nope.
magazines,
like actual magazines like Sports Illustrated and shit?
No, like Signs of the Times and the Review and Herald.
Sign of the Times, that's a Prince song.
And an Adventist publication. The Quiet Hour, I think, is another magazine they'll sell. And then there's Mega Books, where they basically try to sell you Ellen White books.
Oh, boy. Sounds,
yeah, well.
So anyway, back to the dead and living saved heading up into the sky. They journey through space, traveling through the center of Orion's belt, and then the multitude arrives at heaven. Yes, it is explicitly spelled out in Ellen White's The Great Controversy that the path to heaven is through the middle of Orion's belt.
Wasn't that the galaxy from
Men in Black?
Men in Black. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Marbles.
Nice. And so then they get to heaven, where they'll spend the next 1,000 years. During this time, they will eat from the tree of life and slowly transform into 9-foot-tall specimens of perfection. So people who were missing limbs will regrow their limbs as they eat from
people
the tree
of life.
People
who died of massive monstrosity obesity will
they
slim
will
down.
Slim down from eating fruit. Old people will revert back to about 30. And children will eat from the tree of life and grow in a relatively normal time frame to adulthood.
9-foot adulthood.
9-foot adulthood, yes.
Okay.
Everybody gets to be 9 foot tall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Even the girls?
Maybe 8 foot for them.
What?
They are lesser.
Every time.
And also, during this time, no one will have sex and everyone will be naked. So a bunch of naked people with perfect bodies with 1,000 years to kill and nobody's fucking.
No books, no nothing.
Just making whistles just out of grass. Around.
So the books will be open for all to see, and the people will have an opportunity to see for themselves why their friends and families they think should be there aren't, and why people they thought shouldn't be are. And people who've never heard of Jesus will get to find out why they were saved. And once all are satisfied, they will then stand as jury as God stands trial for Satan's original accusation that he is unjust. And the verdict is already determined that God is just. So
so it's a little one-sided there.
Right.
I just get this image of a person going to heaven and then finding out that Pat from the cubicle down is there too. And she's like, why is she here?
And then you get to go look.
I have to go look. I've got to look at the book on this one. And you look it up and you're like, damn, she's pretty righteous. Well, her potluck sucks.
Oh, and this ends up creating the scenario where you have God stacking the court with his buddies. If you wanted it to be a fair trial, it should be all of the lost actually
so that
deciding.
Motherfucker's rigging the jury.
Uh huh.
Oh, he is a motherfucker, isn't he?
I guess he kind of learned.
He's the ultimate motherfucker. Really
yeah.
Mind blown.
So then once... Oh, go ahead.
Fucking Republicans took quite the cue from him on that.
Yes.
So then once the millennium is complete, the New Jerusalem, the city in heaven, will descend down to earth. The wicked will be resurrected, so us, and Satan will assemble them into a vast army.
Sweet!
Which will then march on the city with the plans of attacking and taking it.
That is so metal.
But then they get stopped. Everyone gets shown why they aren't among the righteous and made to feel guilty and proven that they're wrong. And then they and the entire planet are burned. And
with the city still there?
Yeah. So everything around the city burns up.
Oh.
So nice. Then this burning is the second and permanent death. And Ellen White actually describes it as the length of time needing to burn people up is dependent on how evil they are. So,
whoosh.
Napoleon, who she saw as being among the people on Satan's side that day, a contemporary of hers, so yeah, that kind of makes sense. He will take a lot longer than most people. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to, with any degree of accuracy, predict Hitler or Stalin, but,
yeah,
you know,
well,
it's because she was just a crazy person.
Yeah.
And, or excuse me, brain damaged person. And, but Satan ends up taking the absolute longest to burn up. And then once the fires are all done, the earth is instantly made new as a wonderful paradise where the righteous will spend eternity. Naked, perfect,
not procreating,
and not having sex.
Well, I suppose if you take the desire away, a body is just a body, right?
Something like that.
Think of everything you'd get done, though. You get like all sorts of hobbies going.
For eternity.
Oh. Yeah, no. My concept of eternity is, yeah, that's not good.
So
immortality is not a good thing.
After 1,000 years, you get to then start over again. And after 1,000 years, you still have eternity. And then after 1,000,000 years, you still have eternity. And after 100 billion years, you still have eternity.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes 1,000 years look like nothing.
Mm-hmm. It would be so fucking boring.
Yeah.
At least, you know, the Mormons, who we'll get to next, have a little bit more interesting
They have lots
future.
Of fucking going on.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break, and then we'll be back with news.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
Yeah, it feels kind of dirty and wrong how often we have to defend Muslims. So I'm kind of glad this first one, we get to defend one Muslim against other Muslims.
Well, defending any religious person, really. But, you know.
Yeah.
We're not trying to pick on Islam here by being nice to Islam.
Dorsa Durkashani is a 18-year-old Iranian chess grandmaster who has been kicked off of the Iranian national chess team because she didn't wear a headscarf and dared to have bare arms and shoulders while playing at a competition in Gibraltar. Her 15-year-old brother has also been kicked off the team because he played against an Israeli opponent. So for violating...
His chess pieces have been mixed, have been tainted.
So for violating the standards of Iran's Islamic revolution, these kids will not only not be able to play on the national team anymore, but they won't be able to take part in any tournaments in Iran.
Damn, Yudin. Always fucking it up for everybody.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Damn Jews.
Yeah.
I give her credit, though. She could have put on the headscarf, and she didn't. So it's
she could also covered her arms, too. She would have been
She's
fully covered.
Yeah, go Dorsa.
So seriously, standing up
fuck
for
fuck the patriarchy.
Herself. She might need to, you know, relocate sometime soon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Canada could use some more chess grandmasters.
Well, obviously America fucking can't.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said Canada.
Yeah.
We have computers now. Watson?
Oh, yes, yes.
Sure, but...
Deep Blue.
Deep Blue, sorry. Watson's
Deep,
just...
Deep Blue's been kicking people's ass in Go for a long time now. And chess is nothing. Child's play.
Yeah. That
silly humans.
That sucks that they... It took them a month to actually decide to do this. So apparently...
Really? To kick her off?
Yeah. Apparently the coaches didn't have any problem with it while they were in Iran. Or while they were in Gibraltar. And they get back and the... Like, head administrator over the national team is like, no!
All it takes is one baddie.
You have committed treason. You are bad.
Blaspheme. Blasphemist.
Yeah. So, last year, the Tennessee legislature...
Did you hear that? Blasphemist?
Oh, very nice.
It's two words put together, blaspheme and feminist.
I like it.
I like it, too. Yeah, I want that on a shirt next to my hoo-has. Oh, well, sorry. Anyway, back to your story.
So last year, the Tennessee legislature passed a bill to make the Bible the official state book.
Obviously.
Which the governor vetoed, claiming it trivialized the Bible.
Oh.
I'm also guessing he was afraid of losing a lawsuit.
Which he would.
Probably so.
Now, West Virginia has a similar bill being considered in its House Judiciary Committee.
Not learning. This is known as not learning. You turn your head away.
Is West Virginia really a state that you consider as like a higher learning state?
Just any basis of, you know, hey, it didn't work for that guy. Let's try it. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah. They, and this is one of those that there is no way this could survive
a day in court.
Yeah. Yeah, like there is no state that has the Bible as its book, official state book. There is one state, and I believe it's Mississippi, that has a particular Bible as the official state Bible.
Isn't that like a really ancient version?
It's like a couple hundred year old one, I think.
Okay.
Not that King James shit.
No, it's a copy of the King James.
Ugh.
Is it?
Okay. It's not legit Bible.
But this is there is no way of saying the Bible is the official state book and have it not be obviously an attempt to promote religion.
Yeah, no, that is it was literally the promotion of a religion by the state.
Yeah.
God. I was just trying to think of what would Idaho's state book be. Probably My Private Idaho.
Ah.
Really, I was going to go for some sort of color in some sort of, like, Mr. Potato.
Oh, my God, Mr. Potato Head would be perfect.
Lauren's Carnivorous Plants Coloring Book.
My Carnivorous Plants Coloring Book.
That should be the state coloring
book.
Which
I still have a few to sell if anybody wants one for $10.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, how about Washington? What would Washington's state book be?
Oh, Washington State. Something about Bigfoot.
Finding Bigfoot.
or like the companion book to Twin Peaks.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Now, Utah's would also not survive court, since that would probably be the Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Although it's more entertaining read than some books out there, like My Private Idaho. No, I'm joking. It's a good book.
Is it? I've only heard the title.
There was a movie based off of it. That's probably where you've heard it.
Yeah. There is?
I think so.
Or are you thinking of My Own Idaho?
No. Right. Hold on. I'm typing slowly. My Private Idaho, Wikipedia, is an independent adventure drama film.
Oh, okay.
Loosely based on Shakespeare's Henry IV.
Huh.
With Keanu Reeves?
1991.
Oh, we have to watch this.
Yeah. River Phoenix.
River Phoenix Shit. And Keanu Reeves. Okay, anyway.
It's got Flea in it from Chili Peppers.
All right, let's go ahead and move on.
Oh, okay.
Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Vestavia Hills, Mississippi is trying...
Vestavia?
Vestavia!
Oh, my goodness.
Vestavia!
Vestavia! Yeah, I'm sticking with Vestavia.
Well, better than Dirk-a-Shirk or whatever you thought the girl's name was.
Anyway, this church in Mississippi is trying to establish its own armed police force. To do so, they need state approval, and a bill to authorize this new police department has been okayed by the Mississippi House Public Safety Committee.
How? Is that good for public safety?
I'm sure that it'll keep all the Muslim terrorists out.
No, I just imagine a bunch of, like, fat, overweight ex-security guards who now have a gun and a trigger finger.
Oh, I
have, are racist.
I'll be honest, I just imagine most of the males in that church just carrying guns, and they're like honorary.
They have a membership card.
Deputized.
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah, they're all.
My picture of it is the deacons all get deputized and a gun.
They get a little star put on their chest.
Yeah.
Oh, little cowboy.
And yeah, this is okay. So colleges and universities often have their own police departments. That's colleges and universities that are residential campuses with thousands, generally tens of thousands of students. So these are schools that are city-sized.
Yeah, there's a lot of people and a lot of property that needs to be protected.
And so that makes sense.
But a church?
A church. Yeah.
What happened? What? Did somebody come and kick their dog? I mean, what do you need this for?
Muslim terrorists, damn it.
Terrorists.
In Mississippi?
I'm telling you. Obviously. That's the place
the Cajuns,
where you would
never man. They're going to rise
it.
Again.
Yeah, what's funny is the biggest objections this is getting in the state legislature is, who do the officers answer to, since it would presumably be the pastor, which would create a huge, huge problem of church-state separation there. And what do we do when other church affiliates come and ask for the same thing?
That's right.
Like the Muslims?
They're not a college. They're a church. And they're a church asking for police jurisdiction.
All right, Satanists, you know what to do. I want to be a Satanist cop. Yeah. Can I be a sergeant? Be Sergeant Studley. Finally, my dream of being a Sergeant Studley would come true. Make it happen, Satanists.
But yeah, this is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Just thinking about the Danbury letters.
They'd get to do their own investigations. They could do all their own security. They could make their own arrests instead of calling local law enforcement. And the only thing they'd use from other law enforcement is when they take people into lockup. But this is a church. How often would that even happen?
And what are they going to be arresting people for?
You could only arrest people for violating state law.
Maybe their police forces are severely underfunded.
It's a church.
I know. What's the Danbury letters?
The Danbury letters are what Jefferson talking about church and state separation.
Right, to the Danbury Baptist Church.
Oh.
Yeah. And yeah, that whole bit about like who do they answer to and what do you do when other churches want the same treatment?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's either all or none.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's going to happen when the fucking Muslims and the Jews and the Baha'is want to fucking...
The Baha'is, they shoot their vegetarian food at you with a t-shirt cannon.
Yeah, but only if after it's fallen to the ground, I'm sure.
Oh, when I was, before I left the Adventist church, I was looking at other religions, and the Baha'i and Unitarians were the ones that seemed the most interesting, but way too pacifistic for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't really see gun-toting UUs out there.
Nope. No.
Although I'm sure there
are
lots.
Even their food is bland. At least I want some spice in my casserole.
Casserole.
All right. Let's go ahead and take another break, and then we've got a few Trump stories.
Oh, boy.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
All right, I'm officially calling this the Trump dump. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Now, this first one actually isn't completely about Trump, but it will be eventually.
Oh.
The LDS Church, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, National Association of Evangelicals, Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America, and the Christian Legal Society. Yes, those are people representing about more than half of American religious people. So, okay, more than half of Americans, realistically. They have jointly filed a friend of the court brief with the U.S. Supreme Court opposing last year's Obama administration ruling that transgender students get Title IX protections, including getting to use the restrooms that match their gender identity. The brief serves to, quote, inform the court about the sharp clashes with religious belief and practice that will arise if the court interprets the term sex in Title IX to include gender identity.
Yeah. Well, surely somebody will come to their senses and will not bother going through with that.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody?
Well, let's stick on this part first, because they're
so we've got Catholics, Lutherans, Evangelicals, Jews, Baptist, some other nondescript Christian legal society.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of Christians all up in there. A lot of Christians, lots of Abrahamic religions being represented.
And conservative forms of that.
Yes, well.
And they have schools, and they don't want to have to let people who have male on their birth certificate use women's restroom.
It bothers me on two levels. One, there's the basic civil rights that's just like, no, that person deserves the right to do that. And the other is, if you're already presenting as a certain gender, going into the opposite gender's bathroom because it's what's on your birth certificate is stupid and dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you suck.
Now, I would also say if you are
conservative
trans and going to one of these religions' colleges,
get the fuck out.
That seems dangerous, period.
Save yourself.
However, when you look at some of those religions' colleges, like Catholics, if you want to go to law school, there's a decent chance you're going to be doing that at a Catholic university.
Really?
There's a lot of Catholic law schools.
Huh.
Especially Jesuit. Some of the top universities for a lot of graduate programs are Catholic.
Hmm. Okay.
And it makes sense to require them to treat people as, you know, humans. And I think if you're going to be requiring equal protection on grounds of sex, gender identity seems to make very logical and obvious sense to include with that.
Which is why it was interpreted that way by the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And there were cheers all over.
Well, so there were definitely a few hundred people out in front of the White House, as I recall, protesting this. I mean, this is a, you know, new as of the date of recording, Wednesday. So, you know, not many people had a lot of time to organize really on this. But, yeah, Jeff Sessions is getting in on this.
Mm-hmm.
DeVos, even. But,
oh, goodness, fuck DeVos.
Well, she was saying that they need to be more cautious and maybe slow down and, you know, consider alternatives. She was actually being the voice of reason.
Huh.
Sessions is like, well, no, fuck you, bitch.
This could really affect the case that's going against in front of the Supreme Court from Gavin Grimm, the Virginia transgender boy, who basically is, you know, taking all this to court. So, fuck. I mean, the Trump administration even yanked the letter that the education department had in support of his case.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're kind of doing everything they can to, one, well, fuck over transgender people, and two, to, you know, kill this case in any way possible that they can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is just another evil thing. Ha ha. Ah, fuck me. What the hell?
Wait, so you said that it was a trans student who brought the suit in the first place?
Well, I know that there is the Virginia transgender boy the case pits, yeah, him against the officials who want to deny him use of the boys' room at his high school.
I think that's a different case. Because this is the Texas Attorney General suing the United States government.
I'm sorry. I thought we were just talking about Trump and transgender bathrooms.
Yeah, we are. Okay. This is about the Title IX stuff, which was that lawsuit is about Texas and some other states suing the government over that guidance.
Well, there is a case brought up from Virginia.
All right, that's not the
against Virginia.
That's not the one that's going to the Supreme Court, then.
I'm pretty sure it is. There might be multiple cases then.
I'm Googling it.
It's on the Reuters article.
It talks about Texas Attorney General. GG versus Gloucester County School Board. Okay.
Yeah, GG, Gavin Grimm.
This is from like a year ago.
Huh.
There was an act.
Okay,
was
I wasn't aware of that suit. So that's a. Okay, now I'm figuring out what's going on. There is a lawsuit where 13 states are suing to stop those guidelines, and at the same time, there is a separate case that's at the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
got it. Okay.
Okay, but there was a letter in by the Education Department. Basically from the Obama administration saying that they supported Gavin and his rights to use the restroom that he identifies with. And Trump just pulled that as well.
Yeah.
Had that pulled through the Education Department.
So one thing that is interesting is if the Supreme Court includes gender identity as part of Title IX, then even if DeVos completely rescinds the guidance, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but we'd have to pull out, you know, a 5-3 on this.
Yeah.
I'm confused. So okay, so...
There's only 8 justices right now, so we'd have to pull out a 5-3 for a win.
Oh, okay. But as of right now, as at this recording, Trump has revoked that transgender bathroom rule.
Yeah, the one
that happened a couple hours ago.
If the one that Obama put down in May 2016.
Okay. If a Supreme Court decides to favor this Gavin boy and say that gender identity is included in sex, then does that supersede?
Yes.
Okay. If they don't, then it supports.
If they don't, then...
The revocation.
It...
Then it'll strengthen everything that's Trump's done. Trump has done.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I'd say depending on how strong their opinion was.
Well, even if they did, even if they said they didn't want to hear the case, which they already have, even if they said they didn't want to hear the case, that would strengthen Trump's standing.
Okay. I'm all caught up.
Now, what's interesting there is that means they wanted to hear the case. At least 4 of them wanted to hear it. So.
Yeah. When did Scalia die? I mean, this might have even been when Scalia was alive.
Oh, no, this would be well after that. They've already had 2 sessions since Scalia's death. He's been dead for over a year.
Been that long?
Yeah.
Huh, okay, fuck it. All right.
All right. And then you had a ruling there locally.
Yeah. Oh yeah, shit. Well, you know that lovely Christian Brian Fisher. Yeah, let's get down to that. Where is that story at? So Brian Fisher says a court ruling against anti-gay florist is a modern day Kristallnacht. And so yeah, he's talking about this lovely woman. You might have heard of her. I might have heard of her. Holy shit.
Baronelle Stutzman.
Oh, God, that's right.
Stutzman, right?
Worst name ever. Baronelle Stutzman. So, a couple of years ago, it's been a while now, she said that she didn't want to make flowers for a wedding for a same-sex couple. And, Brian Fisher says, well... This is like a Kristallnacht, which, So let me get back on track here because telling a woman who wants to discriminate against a gay couple is the same thing as Kristallnacht, which is the infamous Night of Broken Glass, which thousands of Jewish homes, businesses, synagogues were all looted and destroyed in Nazi Germany. So, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I totally see the similarities are glaring now.
Well, the similarities, they're coming. So Nazis used pipes and stones and fire and, you know, looted and stole and fucked shit up in general. Those evil gay people just used the courts and laws to, you know, get some flowers or cake or some shit. What the fuck, you shit given?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pipes, stones, fire, whatever, looting.
Now, I would agree that there is kind of a modern day Kristallnacht going on. That's there's definitely. Yeah. Oh God, all the anti-Semitic stuff that's been going on, Jewish businesses being vandalized, tombstones being knocked over,
all the anti-Muslim stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that there's. Not as bad as that one night that was made this word famous and that whole event, but there's definitely an uptick in anti-Semitic violence. But it has nothing to do with flowers.
Yeah.
Even
if there's one involving gay people, they're the victims.
Yeah.
These people just wanted a wedding cake.
Flowers.
And flowers. Okay, yeah.
So
flowers in this case, yeah.
Well, they probably wanted a fucking cake, too, and I bet, you know, the baker wasn't very happy about that, but he fucking did it. Yeah.
Ah, fuck.
Goodness. So, yeah, hooray, they won. Poo-poo, because assholes like Brian Fisher are just wrong. Just wrong.
Ah, the gay Gestapo.
Ooh. The GG. Sounds better than SS.
Yeah, fuck.
I might even... If there was a GG, I might wear one of their t-shirts. Fuck it.
All right. Well, looks like you've got another one from a Christian blowhard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. So, yeah. Another lovely person, Pat Robertson. People who oppose Trump are revolting against God. Yeah, see what I did there. Yeah. goodness. So today on the 700 Club, Pat Robertson wondered if President Obama and other Democrats may have participated in a grand conspiracy to bring down President Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn, who resigned on Monday over his communications with Russia's U.S. ambassador. So, yes.
Sounds like something that Democrats... Flynn did wrong. Not.
Oh, there is a grand conspiracy. It's between Michael Flynn, the Russian ambassador, Trump's lawyer, a Russian former mob boss, who is a good friend and business associate of Trump, and probably Trump himself, and Vladimir Putin. That's the conspiracy. And that one's real. And that's what brought down Flynn, his involvement in this conspiracy to do weird...
You want to hear a real conspiracy? Putin fucks bears. You heard it first here.
Bear fucker.
Yeah. Putin, bear fucker.
Do you require assistance?
Assistance?
So...
I forgot how funny that movie is.
Oh, we're going to have to watch Super
Troopers. Oh, my God,
soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Dustin. Oh, way off track there. Oh, my God.
I wasn't even going for that, but it
worked
perfect.
So well.
Wow.
Excuse me, bear fucker. All right. So, yeah, that's all that needs to be said about that, because Pat Robertson, you old fool. Just die, please. Mm-hmm.
But then he'll become a martyr.
No,
he'll just die. It'll be great. Oh,
when
that's a terrible thing to say.
And his body loses all of its shit. whatever's left will be able to fit into a matchbox, just like Christopher Hitchens said.
All right. Now, how about, isn't there, there's some, something going on with emojis now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is down in Texas, and a Texas state representative, Tom Oliverson, is sick of it. Yeah. Poor guy. So, Oliverson actually filed a resolution that asked Texans to lay off using the emoji of chili when talking about their home state of Texas. The legislation is polite, but calls on lawmakers to reject the notion that the Chilean flag, although it is a nice flag, can in any way compare to or be substituted for the official state flag of Texas, and urges all Texans not to use the Republic of Chile flag emoji for digital forms when referring to the Lone Star flag of the great state of Texas. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting tidbit here. Chile's flag in Spanish is called La Estrella Solitaria, or the Lone Star.
Hmm.
Just like Texas. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Man, I mean, Tom, just put on your big boy pants and get over this stuff. Really? Don't you have something you can actually do useful?
Apparently not.
Goodness.
Apparently does nothing but troll the internet. Looking for emojis that he finds offensive.
Obviously. Why doesn't he find the poop emoji offensive?
poop on Texas.
Come on. I thought that shit was fucking like chocolate ice cream for the longest. He's smiling. Come on.
Sometimes you have a really good poop.
Yeah, that's true. There are no emojis for states, not official ones, but there are for countries. And yeah, the little wind blowing, flag blowing in the wind version of the Chilean flag emoji, you know, really does kind of look like the Lone Star state.
I don't blame people for using it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of sweet. They want to show
really
Texas pride.
Fuck, though?
Nobody. Yeah,
seriously.
Nobody.
Who
just
gives
one
a
guy.
Fuck?
Just one guy.
That's all it takes.
That's all it took.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our last break. And then good news.
As a listener of the show, I'm going to assume you love my sexy vocal stylings. If you love the rest of the show as much as my voice, consider giving us the resources we desperately need to purchase quality cocaine and Red Bull. We make it super easy to make a one-time donation or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask.
About a year ago, we talked about a new policy in Australia dubbed the No Jab, No Pay policy. And in response, this was all in response to Australia's low vaccination rate. Currently at about 92.2%, and even lower in some suburban areas. Since the policy was announced, about 200,000 children more have been vaccinated, and more than 140,000 have not, and their families have now been cut off from the government child care payments, a program that can mean up to $15,000.
Is that $15,000 total, or is that a year? Or
per year.
Wow.
In child care payments.
That people are just leaving
honestly
on the table.
I would have considered having kids for that fucking much money.
It's for child care payments.
Do not. Don't, Wesley. Don't.
Have child slaves get the money.
For child care payments. This is money that goes directly to daycares.
Eh.
Which apparently they have some really expensive daycares.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Yeah, but this program has...
But it did help.
...gotten a lot more kids vaccinated.
Totally. Fucking A.
More than half of the remaining.
Most of the remaining kids that aren't getting vaccinated, though, are in the rich areas. The rich kind of like artsy, hipster kind of areas anyways.
Mm-hmm. Right, because...
Places where they don't need to have that money.
Yeah, because...
And they have more money than sense.
Anybody who needed to... Because you end up getting
sense
with kids not getting vaccinated. Typically what you'll end up having happen is wealthier people will do it because they're afraid of toxins. more afraid of toxins than disease. And poor people will do it because they're poor. They don't have the time to get their kid to the doctor and get the shots. And it at least presumably worked on the poor, which realistically, that's where diseases spread the fastest and where you're going to have the greatest effect.
Definitely the greatest effect by far.
All right. And Wesley.
Yeah.
Over to you, Wesley.
Yeah, well, here's this last little story here. The Christian retreat from public life. Yeah. So there's this guy named Rod Dreher. Makes a powerful argument for communal religious life in his book called The Benedict Option. So he's, you know, giving a little interview here, says, don't be fooled. The upset presidential victory of Donald Trump has at best given us a bit more time to prepare for the inevitable. So the last few years have confirmed his extraordinary, The last few years have confirmed an extraordinary cultural shift against conservative Christian beliefs, he argues, particularly with the rise of gay rights and legislation of same-sex marriage. He's saying Christians who used to hold the biblical teachings about sex and marriage have the same status in culture and increasingly in laws as racists. Their future will become increasingly grim, he predicts, with lost jobs, bullying at school, and name-calling in the streets. So, yeah, you know that...
Wait, that's what gay kids go through.
Yeah, kind of is. So that super majority of Christians out there are going to be the, you know, the... Well, they already are the poor victims. Goodness.
Wow.
I feel a tear coming on.
You know, I also support the Benedict option, but I'm going for Benedict Cumberbatch.
But yeah, he's advocating in his book that, you know, religious people should just go for like a communal life, live together, and try and stay away from all these horrible.
I would have no problem with that.
And gays.
Absolutely no problem with that.
Now, of course, the last time somebody tried that in the U.S. On any kind of large scale.
Kool-Aid.
No, large scale. Oh. They ended up becoming a state anyway.
We got to take pop shots at them from a distance for a while.
Like, let's go ahead and like do some kind of land swap deal to get like all Christians in Texas and non-Christians out of Texas and then... build a wall around it.
They'll get their wall.
Give them one of the square states. You know?
Wyoming. No, but we'd have to keep have Idaho or Montana annex Yellowstone. Because Yellowstone's awesome.
So is Grand Teton.
And yeah, both parks.
And Thermopolis.
Yeah, that too. And Jackson.
The rest of it's trash, though. If we get all the cool people out.
Mm-hmm.
So, Waiting for Wrath.
Move them to Boise.
Uh-huh. There's lots of beer.
Yep.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. Poor Rod. You know, he's definitely one of the poor Christians that are just totally getting, you know, shit on every day. There's a tear, really.
Well, we have too much feedback, so we're actually going to be releasing that separately tomorrow as a special mailbag episode. Thank you guys for joining. And
yay.
All that remains is to remind you that not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.